alive and well and full of power. And as I was thinking about that and getting ready to do this series on gifted and thinking about what where Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, I began to think about, you know, how many of you as a kid you remember getting a gift for Christmas or birthday or something, and you get the gift and you open it up and you're excited about it, and you read the package, and you read what all the gift is supposed to do, and then you're like, oh, this is going to be cool, and you can't wait to rip into it and get it going. And then all of a sudden, you find out that whoever bought the gift for you forgot to read the little fine print where it says batteries not included. And then basically, you got a cool-looking paperweight. It looks neat, but it's not going to do much. And it has all kinds of potential. There's things that it can do, and you're just like, okay, well, I guess I have to use my imagination for a little bit. Or maybe you even had that as an adult. I've done that as an adult, buy something and realize, oh, batteries. Or perhaps, how many know, though, that a thoughtful gift giver gives the power to go along with the gift? Amen. Right? Or maybe you've received something in the past and you realize it needed batteries, but somewhere in the process you threw the batteries out with the packaging, not realizing it was in there, but you just tossed it, thinking, well, I'm done with this. This is trash. I believe that today there's a whole lot of churches and Christians. I'm not here to bash churches this morning. That's not my point. But I believe there's a lot of people that have this misconception that somehow the church doesn't need power anymore. That somewhere along the line they have all these things and God has given us a great gift. And the gift of salvation, as I talked about earlier, there is nothing we can do to earn it. It is the greatest miracle of all that a God would love us enough to send his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins. That is the greatest miracle, period, bar none. And we accept this gift of salvation, but I'm afraid that so many times we toss out the packaging thinking that we don't need the power that is available for us as Christians to walk this thing out. How many know that the greatest mistake we can make is to think that somehow we can walk this thing out under our own willpower and under our own power and our own intellect, and that God intended for us to be Christians of power. God gave us the gifts of power to work along with our salvation, and far too many today are throwing it out with the trash. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says this. Paul was talking, and he said this. He said, about the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. How many know that what he was saying is, there's more, and I want to explain what that more is? See, Paul follows up, following that statement, he follows up with a whole list of empowered gifts that are available for us as Christians that causes us to be set apart from other religions. How many know that Christianity wasn't meant to be this intellectual debate with other philosophies in this world like so many people want it to be? Get in a discussion with somebody else today, what do they say? They say, well, let me hear your philosophy. Prove to me that what you're saying is right. Well, I'm not going to be able to argue with somebody. None of us are going to be able to convince somebody through pure intellect and discussion. What's going to flip the scale is when somebody sees a demonstration of power that they can't explain. What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't just come and intellectually argue with the Pharisees, did he? He came in demonstrations of power. It's one thing to say, no, you're wrong. God still does this today. It's another thing to say, no, you're wrong. Let me give you this example and this example and this example that God still does these things today. Let's look at the gifts this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. Paul is writing a letter to the church at Corinth. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking with different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. See, some people try to say that the gifts of the Spirit aren't for today. I've seen some people try to say, well, you know, God had the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge, but now that we've got the complete scripture, that all the wisdom and knowledge you need is right here in this book. Now, I would kind of agree with the last part of the statement, that all the wisdom and knowledge that we need is right here in this book. But I know there's times that we need supernatural wisdom and supernatural knowledge. Others try to make the case that it was only for the apostles and their close associates, and that time is past and that time is gone. My answer to that is that the whole letter in 1 Corinthians there, where Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, and he's addressing all these things that we've been looking at for the last little bit, the whole purpose of that, it wasn't, he didn't just send it to just another apostle and maybe one or two other people. He sent the letter to the church as a whole. Why would you send a letter to the church and say, all right, I'm going to read the following letter to you guys, and this is only for you and you, but the rest of you just get to sit there and listen, and it's not for you. That's not the way it would be. And so God sent it, God spoke through Paul and sent this letter to 1 Corinthians, and it's supposed to be for us today. Now, I've seen some people that try to turn around, and they try to say, oh, yeah, it's for today, but they try to humanize the gifts. They try to boil it down to some kind of natural ability that we have. I ran across a lady years ago that was trying to say that she had the gift of healing. And the more I talked to her, it wasn't any kind of divine healing. She was boiling it down to the fact that because she had this bubbly personality, she could go visit somebody in the hospital and cheer them up a little bit, and she left and they were still sick, that she had the gift of healing because they felt a little bit better. I'm thinking she forgot the batteries for that gift. See, God intended every Christian to be an empowered Christian. You see, when we give our heart and life to Christ, so many times we try to do things on our own willpower. And as I read the scripture last week, what does he say? He says that his Spirit will write his law on our hearts. How many of you know that when you have something really written on your heart, something deep down in here, that all of a sudden it's not living it out by willpower, your heart desires to live it out? God intended us to be an empowered Christian. Every one of us should have the fruits of the Spirit, as we talked about. It should be a characteristic of every single Christian, as we talked about in our last series, that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, is supposed to be for all of us. We're all supposed to embody all of those things. And the whole reason I taught on it is because if we don't have those things in our life, then we shouldn't be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. My advice would be, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, then put down the power tools. You're going to hurt somebody. You see, God may give me a word of knowledge for somebody, but if I don't use love and self-control in conjunction with that gift, then somebody's liable to get hurt. God may tell me that somebody... I'm not going to point on either side here because you're thinking I'm pointing. Somebody at the other church over there has this issue in their life, and he supernaturally reveals that to me. If I don't respond with love and self-control with that, I might can go and call them on it, but if I don't do it in love, they can be hurt and walk away and never turn their life to Christ. Or if I don't respond with self-control, I might run over to somebody else and say, you know, so-and-so is running around. They've got this issue. God revealed it to me, and they got this problem. Once again, somebody can get hurt. That's what I'm trying to say. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is so important in being implemented into these gifts. See, as we establish, every believer should have the same fruit as every other believer, but not every believer will have the same gifts as every other believer. What does it say? It says the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as He determines. You may have been given a certain gift by God, but it would be a mistake also for you to think that everyone else should have that same gift. How many know that you may be used in this area and somehow we can rise up and get puffed up and say, well, I've got that gift. Everybody else should be operating this way. No, it's not what Scripture says. And also, it would be a mistake to think that you are more spiritual than somebody else because God gives you a particular gift. It's not a merit badge. It doesn't mean you've arrived. Matter of fact, I kind of believe that God gave a donkey the gift of tongues, and I don't think he was more spiritual than any of us. You think, what? God gave it? See, when Balaam was riding on the donkey and God caused the donkey to speak in a language he didn't know, it's my definition of tongues. So the donkey was speaking, you know. This morning we're going to look a little more closely at a few of the gifts of the Spirit. As I said, there are many people who don't understand the gifts of the Spirit and they mistakenly think that God has somehow done away with these gifts. But they're real and they're vital for the body today. You see, the same way that they were needed to help spread the gospel back in the early days of the church, they're needed to spread the gospel today. Our arguments aren't going to win somebody else. An encounter with the divine presence of God is going to win somebody else. And if we're walking in that, you know what? If you pray for somebody and they've got an issue in their life, and you know, how many know that sometimes people that don't necessarily believe will ask us as believers to pray for them? So if we get the boldness and we begin to really pray for somebody, we begin to be used in that area, and all of a sudden God does something miraculous, all of a sudden you've got their attention a little bit and they'll be a little bit more willing to listen. And it's what we're supposed to be and it's what we're supposed to do. So today I've given this message the title, Gifted Knowledge. We're going to look at three gifts. I'm dividing the gifts in this series into three parts. Today we're going to be dealing with three of them that have to do with divine knowledge. Before we do that, just a little more on the gifts as a whole. Spiritual gifts are not our natural giftings. They're manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And let me be clear on this. I'll make sure everybody understands. It is the Holy Spirit, not the gifts, that are resident in the believer. Sometimes people want to say, I've got this gift, and they think somehow God stuck this gift down on them. They're carrying around this gift around with them. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit resides in the believer, and He distributes the gifts. He grabs gifts and allows and uses you in that when you're walking around full of the Spirit. And He may use you in one area one time and another area another time. The Holy Spirit imparts the Spirit-filled believer with whatever gift is needed in that moment, and He determines when it happens. The Apostle Paul instructs us to seek this Spirit and to seek that He would bestow those upon us. 1 Corinthians 14:1, he starts out the whole thing talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and he says this. He says, follow the way of love. See, what did he do? He put love first again, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Then he says, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. See, love has to be our underlying motivation. And Paul instructed not just one or two individuals, he instructed the whole church to eagerly desire the gifts. See, spirit gifts are not evidence of holiness. As I said, we don't get a merit badge. You know, when we reach a place that we reach level 10 holiness, we get a little badge we can sew on our sash or whatever. Then all of a sudden the gifts don't kick in. This is not a video game. You ever seen, I know my boys play some video games, there are certain things that if you reach a certain level, all of a sudden these abilities unlock, you know, or whatever. This isn't that. See, the whole purpose of the gifts is because of God's grace, as Pastor Nate so rightly put it, and our yieldedness to Him, that we are gifted with these gifts if we become a yielded vessel that's full of the Spirit. Because guess what? We may be used in some divine fashion, but we're still flawed individuals. God spiritually used a donkey, but he was still a donkey. So we can't get spiritually puffed up. But the whole purpose for any gift of the Spirit in operation is this. Number one, it's to bring glory to God. Number two, it's to edify the body. In other words, as the NIV puts it, it's for the common good of the church. It's also, contrary to popular belief, for the unbeliever. I know so many people say, well, we want to be sure that we put those things in the side room and the back room, and we don't want anything that gets too carried away. Now, I understand things can get too carried away when somebody gets in the flesh and they're not operating in what God's really doing. I understand that. But you have so many churches say, well, we don't want that. You know, if that happens, they want to rush something off the back room and they want to keep it hidden. They say, because we don't want to upset the unbeliever. Well, 1 Corinthians 14:22 says that those things are for the unbeliever. And they're to redirect the church. Sometimes the church may be getting off course, and God can use somebody gifted in the gifts of the Spirit to give a word of wisdom to correct the church back on the path it's supposed to be. And then lastly, it's to meet human need. Because after all, for God so loved the world, he gave. See, all who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit are candidates to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. All right, I think I'm about to take the handheld mic. We had an issue.
Isn't technology great, but sometimes it lets you down. And I like to talk with my hands free, but oh well. Preach one-handed, I guess. See, all who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit are candidates to be used in the gift of the Spirit. How does that happen? Well, number one, continue to seek Jesus. I know it tells us to eagerly desire the gifts, and it's okay to pray for the gifts, but we're not after the gifts. We're after the giver of the gifts. And pray in the Spirit. What did Paul say? He said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. If you're filled with the Spirit, you know what? The whole idea is not to get the, I kind of alluded to it earlier, you know, it's not like a program where all of a sudden you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit and say, okay, now I got that badge on my uniform. I can just set that aside and go on. No, that's supposed to be just the beginning of the things that God has for you. There's gifts and things that come with that. And then lastly, yield yourself to his use, and that's the biggest one, I think. How many know that we can get in the way of what God wants to do with us? And the more we yield, God may be calling you to do something. And how many know that God, he kind of doesn't care so much about our comfort zone. If he cared about the comfort zone, I wouldn't be standing here doing this. You know, it was... Very first time I spoke, he's like, you want me to do what? What? But as we begin to walk in that, you realize that, oh, wow, God, you really did help me in that. He really did do that as I yielded to you. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest feeling in the world to know that in a particular moment, you're standing right in the middle of his will, doing right what he told you to do. It's the greatest feeling that there is. So you remember this vital fact, the Holy Spirit gifts are always, I'm going to rephrase that. The Holy Spirit gifts will always be in conformity with his word. If somebody does something, they say, oh, the Spirit made me do that. If it doesn't line up with his word, then it's not the right Spirit. Once again, love must be the underlying motive. So this morning, for the next little bit, we're going to look at three of the gifts that I'm calling gifted knowledge. These gifts are going to examine today are basically the gifts of knowing something that we would not have obtained without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We didn't deduce it by any natural means or pass it off as something spiritual just because we figured it out on our own. Because there's people that are guilty of that. They kind of ask questions. They kind of get a figure for who you are, and they try to pass something off as being some kind of spiritual gift when it's just something that they deduced by looking at you. God gives us supernatural insight through the power of His Holy Spirit. First one Paul lists is the message of or the word of wisdom. This is a supernatural communication from the Holy Spirit of a portion of God's wisdom in order for us to know what to say or how to act in a given situation. Have you ever been in a situation that you need a little wisdom from God, right? So the gift of wisdom enables us to express the Holy Spirit's revelation or wisdom or an answer to either an individual or group of people, such as the church. It is given a way that surpasses any previous knowledge that we have or any natural ability. It carries with it a mark of the wisdom of God. And God's wisdom beats all other wisdom. In Luke chapter 4, or chapter 21, I'm sorry, Jesus is beginning to lay some things out. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's beginning to talk about, they ask him the question about the signs of the end. As he walks with that, he makes this statement. He says, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you would defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. How many could use that a little bit every now and then, right? How many times in Scripture just says that they were reasoning about the gospel and nobody could dispute what they were saying? That's just the coolest thing. See, Jesus instructed his disciples about this while giving them instructions of the coming of the age. And it's so funny to me that so many people will say, no, that stuff's not for today. But they will take that same passage and say that Jesus was clearly talking about the end times. And they'll say that, oh, yes, very clear. He's not just speaking to the disciples in their time. He's speaking in the end times. But in the very next sentence in the same conversation, when he says this, oh, that's not for today. See, yes, what he was saying was for the disciples, but it was also for us because the very times he described, they were not going to be there for. One of my favorite examples of this gift is in operation is when Solomon, how many know that King Solomon asked for wisdom, right? He was given the opportunity to rule the kingdom, and God said, whatever you want, you just ask for it. And Solomon says, Lord, just give me the wisdom to rule my kingdom. Now, I realize this is an Old Testament reference, but how many know that the gifts of the Spirit, that God was still doing that in people's lives in the Old Testament times? But in this story, it's one of my favorite stories as a kid growing up. Basically, there's these two prostitutes that have babies. In the course of the night, one of the babies dies. They lived in the same house. One of the babies dies, and so the other one in the middle of the night that lost the baby gets up and walks, slips over, and lays her dead infant down by this one mom, and then picks up the live infant and walks over and falls asleep with it, and then tries to say that, no, it was your baby that died. Well, obviously, there was a big dispute that arose over that, because any mom at all would be like, oh, it's on, right? I can see the earrings coming off. We're going to go, you know? And they go, and so this ends up coming before King Solomon. And so here he is with an issue he doesn't know. They didn't have DNA testing. There wasn't any hospital records or anything they could go to. So he's trying to decide which baby this belongs to. Because both of them would say, no, your baby died. This one's mine. And so in God-given wisdom in that moment, he tells one of his attendants, says, hand me a sword. The attendant hands him a sword. He says, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to cut the baby in half, and each of you will take half of the living baby. Now, that seems like a really drastic thing, but we know that Solomon had no intention of cutting a baby in half. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew that no real loving mom would let, she'd rather have somebody else have her baby than see the baby die. So the real mom, what does she do? No. Just let her have the child. Solomon, in that God-given wisdom, looks down and says, no, give her the baby, because that's the real mom. You see, We can't come up with those kind of wisdom in those moments on our own, but God, through His Spirit, can do great things. We see examples in Jesus. Jesus in Scripture, it said that He was full of the Holy Spirit, right? And so Jesus answered the woman caught in adultery. He said, let those who are without sin cast the first stone. He knew that by saying that, that everybody else would put their stones down. Jesus also answered concerning taxes when they tried to trap Him on the taxes. He says, here, hand me a coin. See this coin? Whose picture's on it? Caesar's. Okay, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. Wisdom. See, I've literally at times been in a service as a young man growing up and seeing a move of God to the point where something I was struggling with, somebody in the service, God gave a message of wisdom, and they stood up and spoke out this message, and God addressed exactly what I was facing in that moment. I walked out of that service with the wisdom I needed. And we tried to put that stuff aside and say, oh, that's not for today. I still need wisdom. Other times I've had people that I've counseled with, and it's always amazing to me that from time to time somebody comes back after I've counseled with them in a situation, and they come back and they say, oh, that everything I ask about, they're doing, everything's better, everything's good. Man, that thing that you said, and they begin to lay something out that they say that I said to them. I'm like, I don't remember. I don't say this to them. I say, I don't remember saying that. It's because of that moment God gave me something to say that's beyond me. Because I'm not that smart. We're not that smart. If you think you are, then you've got a whole other problem. See, why would God have such a wonderful gift for the Old Testament and many Spirit-filled believers of the early New Testament and all of a sudden say, well, today they don't need it? You looked at the news? I think we could use a little wisdom. I think we need some Spirit-filled leaders. Maybe that would help them. They could get the gift of wisdom. We could kind of get this country turned around, but that's a whole other story. Then there's the message or the word of knowledge. And this is supernatural communication of information, of understanding from the Spirit, not from God to an individual. You see, the word of knowledge is not, and I'm going to list you some things that the word of knowledge is not, because how many know that sometimes people take spiritual gifts and they try to make them into things that they're not? It's not a profound knowledge of Scripture or accumulation of facts. It's not some kind of spiritual ESP. It's not that. It's not an analysis of personality traits. It's not a gift of public speaking. But there's some examples in Scripture of this knowledge that is just supernatural. Samuel, God gave him knowledge. He said, tomorrow, this guy named Saul is going to come to you, and I want you to anoint him as king. That's knowledge he didn't have. He didn't get it by, he didn't get a memo or a phone call on a cell phone or anything like that. It was God-given knowledge. And he said, when he comes, tell him that the donkeys he was looking for has already been found and that his dad's now concerned about him. That's divine knowledge they didn't have. Elisha knew the location of the enemy's army. The Syrians kept trying to do things, and finally the king said, okay, which one? The king of Syria said, which one of you guys is the spy? And the people responded, said, there is no spy. It's that guy named Elisha that they've got. God's telling him everything you're saying, even in your own private bedroom. But my favorite one, I guess not favorite, but a perfect example of this is found in Acts chapter 14, or Acts chapter 5, I'm sorry. It says this, then Paul said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? See, Ananias and Sapphira saw that people were getting applause and things because they were selling property and bringing it because they're being very generous and they're giving to help spread the gospel. And this couple decided that they wanted the same kind of accolades, but they when they sold the property, they also decided, you know what, let's just give part of it, keep part of it for ourselves. It's not that they get part of it, but it's that they acted like, because they wanted the same applause, they acted like they were giving it all. And then all of a sudden, through the Holy Spirit, Peter knew, that's not all. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? See, God can do that. God can give us knowledge at times. I remember years ago, I was we were speaking at a kids camp, and God, had a great altar time, and lots of kids were just seeing neat things happen. But there was a lady that was over off to the side. There was one of the counselors that came to camp. And so we were praying with people, and I really felt led to go pray for this lady. So I went over there, and I knew that she was kind of standing off the side. It was very just sullen, and so I walked over and began to pray for her and try praying for her, try and talking to her, and just wasn't getting much response. It just was kind of this dry kind of thing. And all of a sudden, the craziest thing, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gave me insight into what was going on in her life. About the broken home situation that she came out of and all these different things that she was facing. And I didn't even say, is this true? I just reached over and began to pray for her and began to pray over those things. And all of a sudden, as I began to pray, she just began to weep and break and fall to her knees. And God did a miraculous thing. The next thing I know, the joy of the Lord hits her. And she's just this completely, all of a sudden, this person that was so sullen and so dried up, all of a sudden was now full of joy and life because God set her free in that moment. See, God can still do those things. Which brings us to the distinguishing and discernment between spirits. See, Holy Spirit knowledge of the influencing spirit of the heart motivation behind an action. You see, how many know that there's things that can be done, but there's always a motive behind things? There's even spiritual things that can be done, but there's different spirits behind things. Sometimes somebody can be doing something that seems pretty miraculous, but it's not exactly the Holy Spirit that's empowering what's going on. Yeah, I think it's interesting this was mentioned after the gift of prophecy. And basically it involves supernatural perception. And maybe it was given at that point because the whole idea, how many know that sometimes if somebody speaks a word of prophecy, we wouldn't even be able to discern whether or not that's really from God. Or maybe somebody gives a message or something. Because sometimes, just because there's a message in tongues and interpretation doesn't mean it's always from God. I kind of grew up in a church where a lot of that stuff happened, and you have to know the pastor that we were under. He was very, very stern, very old-fashioned, had this booming, deep voice. He was just this very authoritative person, and I have to admit, he didn't always respond to those things in love. I prefer to handle issues that are out of bounds behind the scenes, but he would do this. We'd be in the middle of service, and somebody would do something, and if it wasn't right, right in the middle of service, he'd say, sir, ma'am, sit down. You're out of order. I did not ever want to hear those words. But he was just but God would use it. But sometimes we need to know. Sometimes, let's face it, we're all human. Sometimes we can be starting down the right path and somewhere along the line our emotions cause us to get out of bounds of what's really God and into something else. What does John say? 1 John 4:1, it says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yeah, I believe that as a church that we're headed for revival. I don't believe it's a mistake that God gave me these series to preach. And I know that as we become a little more spirit-filled and spirit-empowered and begin to walk in those things, that how many know that when you begin to open the door, that there's going to be nuts and flakes that are going to show up. People are like, woohoo, a free place. And they're going to show up with off-the-wall ideas and things. And anytime you have the real thing, how many know the enemy is going to try to send counterfeit to mess things up? And there will be things that we will probably have to deal with. But do we want to throw out the real thing just because there might be something that's not? Not me. But here's some things that the discerning of the spirits isn't. It's not perceptive character judgment. Once again, that's humanizing the gift. Because there's some people that are pretty good at, they can kind of look at somebody and see some actions. They're pretty good at determining person there, they're pretty intuitive in that area, but that's not the same thing as discerning of spirits. That's your own ability. Discerning of spirits is a supernatural thing that God gives you. It's not keen observation skills, which kind of goes hand in hand that. It's not the skill to discover faults in others. I'm going to say that again. It is not the skill to determine faults in others. How many know that some people think that's their spiritual gift to go around? They have a problem with this, they have a problem with that, and just point out people's faults. I don't read anywhere that that's a spiritual gift. I think that's just being a critic. See, there's some things that God wants to do. The example in Scripture is the girl, Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16, were going and they were preaching, and there was this girl that this servant girl that Scripture says that she is that she was practiced divination and fortune telling and raised a lot of money for her masters, and all of a sudden as Paul and Silas show up and they're preaching, she follows them around and literally says for days saying, "Listen to them, they know the way of the Lord," and just beginning to call these things out. And what she was saying wasn't wrong. But Paul, being full of the Spirit, understood the Spirit behind what she was doing. And so he just finally had enough and turned around and said, "Come out of her." Now, they did end up in jail later because the people got upset because she could no longer tell fortunes and make money for them. But the point is that Paul recognized that even though truth was coming out of her mouth, it was through the wrong spirit. You see, there's so many times in Scripture we see these things, and in closing this morning, I just want to say this, that we live in a time where the world needs to see the truth. And somehow, our enemy has convinced us to throw the batteries out with the trash. When God meant for His church to be an empowered church, He meant for the gifts to be in operation. Remember last year, I guess a little over a year now, when our whole area was in severe drought? You guys remember that? That time we still lived in Saxey, we'd make the drive across the bridge, and I got tired of driving across and not seeing a lake, but seeing a prairie. The big bridge over the prairie. And I've got a friend that knows a guy that's with the Corps of Engineers. And we were having a conversation about that recently, and he said that one of his friends came in, that this guy that's with the Corps of Engineers came in during that time and said, "Yeah, it's bad." He says, "You know, no matter how much rain we get, it's going to be 10 years before the lakes fill back up." Wrong. I know that the lakes fill back up when God says the lakes fill back up. See, God doesn't have a shortage of water. And we may live in a time in this nation where we're in the midst of a spiritual drought. Well, the words of Psalm 63 make sense. "O Lord, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." We're there. However, the lack of water is not the problem in the spiritual realm. See, we know somebody that has a never-ending supply without restrictions from the everlasting fountain, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the great news is we're all invited to participate, to partake, if we'll open our hearts to Him. John 7 says this, Jesus Himself speaking, says, "Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, streams of living water will flow from within." By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. But up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since He had not yet been glorified. I know there are still people trying to say, that stuff's not for today, but wait a second, He says, "Whoever believes in me." And if you said, "Oh, He wasn't talking about the Spirit," basically He said, by this He meant the Spirit. Pretty obvious. See, Paul may have addressed his letter to the church in Corinth, but Jesus there addressed his comments to to the whole church, period. See, Paul spent an entire chapter talking about love and all those stuff and how that has to flow with the gifts. But the point is that Jesus provided gifts of power for the body to operate under, and it's time we get the batteries out of the trash and plug them in and begin to walk in what God has for us. Because if we're going to change this community, if we're going to change this nation, it's not going to come by our voting record. It's only going to change if we begin to walk in the power of God and we begin to walk in His Spirit and we pray to the point where enough lives get changed that we can put actual believers into office. I'll get political another day as we get closer to the election. 2 Timothy 1:6-7, this is the last verse, I promise. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I know there's people that say, as a matter of fact, we had somebody recently that was thinking about coming to visit the church, and they had a different background, and they begin to feel like there was more to this spirit thing, but they made the comment, say, I don't know if we come there and you guys start laying hands on people, we're out of there. Well, I understand, but it's pretty scriptural to lay hands on people. And as I said, it's not that we've got the gift, not that there's anything special, it's the Holy Spirit using somebody in that moment. So this morning, I want to end this way. Last week we spoke on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people got filled for the very first time. But today, if you've either never yielded in that way, or perhaps you're here and you are full of the Spirit, but you say, you know what, I've never really done what Paul said. I've never earnestly sought God for the gifts of the Spirit. What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, fan in the flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Today, I want to, my altar call is simply this. If you're here and you say, you know what? I realize that the church needs to be an empowered church. And I just want to say, Lord, whatever fashion you want to use me in, I want to yield to you whatever gift you want to give me to use to help edify the body, to help the community of believers, then I'm open to that. If that's you, would you come down front? I just want to pray with you. You say, you know what? I yield it all. It's yours. Somebody's got to be first. You know what happens? We say that we wrestle, well, I want to be first. But I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done lately in my own prayer life. I said, Lord, use me more in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not seeking the gifts. I'm seeking you. But Lord, I want to be used of you. I want to see things change. I want to see a difference made. Is there anybody else? I'm going to ask my wife and anybody that's on any of our staff just to come, and we're going to begin to pray for these. If you're here, I was just help join us in prayer that God will do something, because I believe as we yield and say, you know what, I am open to God using me in the gifts, then we want to do that. Thank you. Lord, today we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your gifts. Lord, let us stand up and be the body that you've called us to be. Lord, your word is so clear. And Lord, so many times we allow ourselves to be sidetracked by other ideas and other thoughts. And Lord, we just want to be a church that's right, that's full of your Spirit, not too far to one extreme or the other. Lord, we'll walk in the middle of who you are. Lord, I pray that you help us to allow ourselves to be stretched where we need to be stretched. Lord, at the same time, to have gifts like a discernment in operation that we know by what means. Lord Jesus, things are being done so we can stay the right and correct path. And Lord, we ask you to be with us. Lord, let us be yielded to your Spirit. Keep us safe. Bring us back together next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.